Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll go to another passage here in a moment. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We are learning about the throne of grace. We've talked for many weeks about what a throne is and what it symbolizes, what it means to us. The throne is a very powerful thing, and we're very inadequate for the throne, and yet we praise the Lord that he's in control, he's sovereign, he knows what's going on, he's got the situation already taken care of. We praise the Lord that there's the throne, but it's a throne of not justice that we looked after last week, but it's the throne of grace. And again, as I mentioned before, we would be ignored. We would be turned away every single prayer that we prayed if it were a throne of justice. We're not worthy. We don't have the right words. We don't have the right anything, the right motives, the right questions, the right ways of going about things. God would reject every one of our prayers. Understand that. Every one of our prayers, if it were a throne of justice, but it's a throne of grace. And that's a blessing that grace is. You remember, what is grace? Grace is giving us something that we don't deserve. We do not deserve it, and yet we get it anyway, as opposed to mercy, which is not getting something that we do deserve. Okay, so the throne of grace is something that we go to, and although we do not deserve it, God blesses us, and he gives us so many things. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And it's because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us that we can come boldly to this throne of grace. God is looking to bless us because of Jesus. Tonight we're going to look at the small aspect of desires that are interpreted. Desires interpreted. I want you to think about desires just for a moment. Can we have good desires? We can. Can we have wrong desires? We can. We can desire some things that God would not have us desire. Desires. Sometimes difficult to even know what right desires are. Have you ever wondered if one of your desires was right? God, I would like this. I'm not sure if it's what you want. And we wrestle with those kind of things, desires. We're going to look at desires just for a moment, and desires interpreted is really what we're going to look at. If it is a throne of grace, and it is, if it is a throne of grace, then we can be excited about what God can do with our desires. Let me give you a little insight on who I am. This is just natural tendency for me, and maybe some of you would relate, some of you wouldn't relate, and different personalities wouldn't understand this. And so if you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Certain personalities would automatically think that if it's a desire of mine, that it's probably wrong. Oh, I'm just a person. I'm corrupt. I know myself. I'm wicked. I'm sinful. It kind of goes back to last week. I know that I have wrong motives with a lot of things. Certainly, if it's something that sounds desirous to me, then probably God doesn't want it. Now, I'll tell you something. That might be my mentality, but it's a wrong view of who God is. Would you look at God as a God that just absolutely can't wait to give you things, or a God that's like, oh, I'm going to make you earn this one. Oh, I'm not going to give this one to you because I want to see if you're really faithful or not. Oh, I'm not going to give this to you. In fact, we look at it, at God as a very hesitant God. I'm only going to let in and give up if, well, certainly if it's your desire. That's not a part of it. And what we get is a mentality that we've got to earn. We've got to, you know, if I desire it, it's certainly not of God. And a lot of people back in old times, even in the in the New Testament, they had this mentality that if it's anything of my flesh, and again, when I say flesh, I'm not talking about the flesh that is so sinful and corrupt. I'm just talking about human flesh. That if it has anything having to do with humanity, almost then it's going to be wrong. And so we reject anything of humanity. But yet, what's the problem with that? We're humans, right? And so it's not just wrong if it has anything to do with humanity. Yet I ask you the question, where did our desires come from? All right, we're going to look at a couple things with desires tonight. First of all, we want to see the fact that God loves to give. You ever met a person that loves to give? They get excited about giving. Me, you say, Pastor, that's not me. Why? Every time I got to give something, I don't know, can I afford this? Is it hard? Do you like, when Christmas time comes up, I just can't wait to go out and buy things for other people. Or maybe you like Christmas because you can't wait to get all the things from your family. You know, the fact of the matter is many of us, we're not givers, naturally. We don't, it's hard to give. It's hard to open up our fingers and open up our hands because, I've worked hard for this. This is something that we have. And wow, I got to give something to somebody else, and it's very difficult. For other people, it's very natural, and they love to give. They would give you anything if they could. And in some cases, they give you more than maybe what they should because they love to give. You know anybody like that? There are people that like to give. There's givers that we know. People love to give. And we look at some of their situations, and we're like, man, they just love that. Do you know that God loves to give? God loves it. He's driven to give. And so we meet people that just, they have an excitement of giving. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 37. This verse doesn't necessarily tell us of God's incredible love to give. That's demonstrated all through Scripture. God is always giving. God is such a giving God. He gives us what we don't deserve. He delights in it. He's always giving. But this verse, I want you to see something. For God truly loves to gift us with certain desires. What does Psalm 37:4 say? It's a verse that you probably all know. Because we like to claim the verse. It's a wonderful verse to claim. But the psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord. And a lot of times we forget that part. And we like the second part, though. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And what's the way we wrongly interpret this verse? It's hard to look at, but when we read the second part of this, that he'll give us the desires of our hearts, what do we think of? We think that God is going to give us the things that we've already been desiring, right? Those things that we really want. I could ask you, what's your wish list? What are the things that you wish that you had? The things that you would love to have? Oh, I really, some of you ladies could use some things in the kitchen. You really want some new this and some new that. And you could make yourselves a wish list really quick. Some of you would like some new this or some new that. Some of you guys would like some new tools or some new things that you could do. Whatever the case is, we all have some things that we would like. And typically the way many people have looked at this verse is, okay, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he's going to give you those things that you've been desiring. Right? But that's not what the passage is saying. What does the passage say? He will give you what? He'll give you the desire. He'll give you the desires. What he's saying is there is, okay, so you've been desiring that new pickup for 10 years, or whatever, and he's going to, delight yourself, and he's going to give you that truck. That's not what he's saying. He said, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he's going to help you to have the right desires. He's going to help you that when you desire things, you're going to desire the things of the Lord. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he's going to give us desires. For a person like me that has a hard time with desires, I think, okay, boy, I'd really like this, but I don't know that God would want me to have that. As I delight myself in the Lord, God gives us certain things to desire. We wonder, why am I desiring this for And remember, all the desires that we're talking about here, that they would be desires that would be consistent with his name. You know, those things that we can attach Jesus' name to. We pray and say, in Jesus' name. You know, what, could Jesus put his stamp of approval on that thing that you're praying for? As we delight ourselves in the Lord, as Jesus is important to us, as we want to delight in the things that he delights in, God will give you those same desires. And when you have a desire like that, boy, you're gonna be able to rest assured that those desires are given to you of the Lord, because he's given them to you. That's why we desire certain things. Notice in verses 5 and 6, you're there in Psalm 37. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. He goes on to say, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, I read in this passage a God that loves to give, and he loves specifically to give desires. God wants to give us things that are consistent with his name, consistent with his will, consistent with his purpose and plan. He gives us certain things that are consistent with him, and he loves to place them inside our hearts, that when we listen to the preaching of God's word, when we open up the Bible, there's some things that are stirred inside, and we delight in it, and we get excited about the things of the Lord. We get excited about ministering in a certain way. We get excited about giving to somebody in a very special way. We get excited about doing the work of the ministry. We get excited about some new things he's taught us, and how to be a better father and a better mother and a better grandparent and a better Sunday school teacher and a better deacon and a better whoever you are. He loves to give you those things, because when God gives a desire, he has a purpose and a plan for it. He loves to get you thinking about his work. God loves to give desires. God loves to give desires. As, of course, they correspond with his name, with his purpose. Grace. It's the throne of grace. Grace is closely associated with what other word that we use often? Gift. A gift. God loves to grace us. God loves to gift us. One of the things he loves to gift us in is desire. You know, as we pray, that's what we're studying here. As we go before the throne of grace, we understand as we go to him, he's longing and loving to give. And what he loves to give is desires, so that we can pray for those things. Desires. I want you to see a second thing that God loves to give. And it has to do with desires. I entitled it Desires Interpreted. Or I say I did. Spurgeon did. Desires Interpreted. I want you to think of a little child. A little child that is he's learned to talk, but you know, sometimes a little child comes to a parent or an adult, and they don't know how to quite put their request or their desire into words. I think of my little one, and sometimes you come and they look up at you, and you can tell in their eyes there's something that they're excited about, something that they want to request, something that they want, and telling you about something, and their eyes light up and their face lights up, and they're trying to say it, and I can picture his face perfectly. He's in there trying to tell me that certain thing, and he's daddy, and he's trying to explain, and his eyes go this way and that way, and he's searching for words. And sometimes he doesn't know them. And yet, as a daddy, I know what he's trying to say. And I'll tell you, I delight in that. I love that. You know, and I look down and I listen. And maybe there when he's, you know, spitting and sputtering, he doesn't know how to say what he desires or requests. Maybe I can fill in a word there and I can give him something. Or maybe I can just say, oh, you're trying to tell me that you would like... And then all of a sudden, when I say it, then, yes, it's complete, it's fulfilled. It's like, yes, that's what I was trying to say. Do you know that God delights in your desires, and he loves to give you the words to express it to him? He loves to give you the desire. Okay, now. Yeah, they've got the desire. They're excited about this ministry. They're excited about doing this for my honor and for my glory. Now remember, we're not talking about requests that are for our benefit or the things that we want to consume it upon our lust that James talks about, that those aren't the things that necessarily we can count on. No, these are the things that would be consistent to his name, consistent with his character, consistent with his will. As God, first of all, gives us those desires, he also enables us to pray for those desires. But have you ever felt like that little child that didn't quite know how to express those desires? Number one, because we're not 100% sure, like, Lord, is this what you want? You know, probably you wouldn't want that. You know, as a pastor, I love to pray for more people. I love to pray for visitors. I love to pray for an opportunity to share the gospel. I love to pray for a hand raised during a service that God has spoke to their heart or wants to hear the good news of salvation. You look forward to an opportunity to get to help somebody with a struggle that they go through. You look forward to ministries that you can do, and you love for that. You know that God delights. You know, those desires come from the Lord, and he loves when we get excited about those things. He loves it. And we get on fire to take further steps in the ministry, to move out in faith and to do this or to do that. God loves it, and you can rest assured that God was the one that put that there inside of your heart. The devil's not wanting to give you bad things. You think the devil wants to give you things that are gonna promote God's plan? Of course not. You get excited about a certain ministry, and you can guarantee that God put that desire there. God put that desire there, and he gave you that thing, and he's going to give you the means to pray for it as well. He's going to give you those words. Really quickly, turn to Hosea chapter 14. You say, Hosea. I don't turn to Hosea very often. Well, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Some of these minor prophets. Right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 14. And of course, Hosea, on the story of Hosea picturing Israel that is kind of rejected the Lord and gone her own way. And of course, the groom coming to rescue the individual that's been unfaithful. Now, this request that was made would not be quickly answered, in fact, because Israel did not obey. Did not do right. It would be later that the captives and the remnant that would return to Israel would see this answered. But I just want you to notice the wording used in Hosea chapter 14 and specifically verse 2. But look at verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Okay, that makes sense, right? And so the plea is for Israel to return to the Lord. You have done wrong and you have been taken captive. Would you please return? And notice verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him. Okay, so do you see what's been given here? Okay, I want you to take these words. And I want you to take the words and I want you to turn to the Lord and say unto him. That's prayer, right? So take these words, turn to the Lord and pray. And here's what the words are to pray. Notice who gave the words. God has given the words, right? I'm going to give you these words and this is what you pray for. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Very small point that I want you to see. Where do the words come from? God. And God says, listen, here's what I want you to pray. Turn to the Lord, pray it. Who had put those words there? Who had given that desire there? Well, God gave. You know, I want you to go back. I want you to return. I want you to be victorious. I want you to be a remnant that's going to strive for the things of the Lord. I want you to do right. I want to give you things, Israel. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you this desire, and I want you to turn to the Lord, and I want you to pray to me. And here's what I want you to say. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God can give us the words so that we know what to pray for. He'll give you the desire, and he'll tell you what to pray for. All we need to do is we need to seek the Lord. God, what do you want me to pray for? And God wants to give you those things. He wants to give you his will. He wants to give you his ministry. He wants to give you his direction. We need to go to the throne of grace and ask for it. And we need to expect God to gift us with the desire and to gift us with the words to ask. But I'll tell you, moreover, all of this, Jesus Christ is there giving the words, whether you have the words or not. He is the one speaking to the Father directly, you indirectly. Our voice goes through Jesus to the Father. And Jesus is interpreting, and he's turning those words, maybe wrong words, and he's turning them into something good. It brings us full circle back to Luke 11 and verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to give me the desires of what to pray for. Would you agree? I don't know what to pray for sometimes. God, I don't know. What would you have me desire? You know what? God loves to gift you with that. God loves it. He loves to help you to know what to pray for. It's the throne of grace. Wow. Here in just a few moments, we're going to get to go before the Lord God. And honestly, in my humanity, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what your desire is. God, would you give me those? Let me ask you a question. Does God want to answer that request? What do you think? Does God want us to know what to pray for? I don't think that it's been emphatic enough. Does God want us to know what to pray for, folks? He does. God does not want to keep us in secret. God wants us to, you know, when we ask for bread, he wants to give us bread. He's not trying to make things miserable and difficult and a big secret. But we need to ask him, Lord, what would you have us pray for? I would encourage you tonight when you sit down to pray, when you move around the building and you go to the Lord to pray, to start off by saying, God, what would you have me to ask for? Does God want us to give us those certain desires? He does. Sean, I would love for you to pray for this. This is what I would desire. Would you pray for that? And God can do that. We need to ask him. We're going to a throne. We're going to a throne that there's a lot of gifts. A lot of gifts. You know, it's sad that the world put Santa Claus where they put him. How does the world picture Santa Claus? A man on a throne that loves to give. I want to tell you something. This isn't a message against Santa Claus. But Santa Claus doesn't know what to give. And to tell you the truth, Santa Claus doesn't care about giving because there is no Santa Claus, but God. God is a God that loves to give. He loves to gift his people. He loves to gift us with desires, and he loves to gift us with the words to get those desires and to get the things that God wants. Oh, let's be bold. Let's go before the throne of grace and ask him, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, tonight as I come before you, God, would you teach me? Would you give me the desires of my heart? Would you give me those things that I ought to pray for? And as we do, and as God places something there, then we can boldly come before that throne of grace and say, God, you know what? I believe that you would have me ask this for the church. I believe that you would have me ask this for my family. I believe that you would have me ask this for my own life. God, I would ask you that you would do this for the benefit of, for your glory and for the benefit of this church. Those things come from the Lord, and God will do it. And he'll give us the desires, he'll give us the words. He loves to do it. He loves to give. He loves to supply the words. He loves to look down with a big smile, just like I do with my little one, and say, let me help you out there. And yes, you can have that. God loves. Let's have a better view of who God is, not just some mean individual on a throne that's waiting. No, that's the throne of justice. You see the difference? We're not going before the throne of justice tonight. We're going before the throne of grace, grace. You know, if we can picture God, God has got a smile on his face and he's waiting. And he's not waiting to judge your prayers and to analyze your prayers. He's waiting with gifts at his feet to hand to you tonight. Praying is a wonderful thing. And we can expect a wonderful night as we go before the throne of grace. Grace. All right. Praise the Lord for what he's given to us this evening. It should prepare us and excite us to go before that throne. God wants to do great and mighty things through that prayer tonight. God's looking to answer things tonight and to give many things. And in the coming days, we get to see what God's going to do. But we got to